Welcome to Talking Music. My name's The Hurricane, and it's my honor to have a special guest here, country roots artist Mark Berger, singer, musician, songwriter. Mark's life has been about pursuing twin passions, creating and recording his American roots songs, and exploring remote areas of the desert and mountain west. After signing his first publishing contract while in law school, he fronted rock bands and performed regularly in New York City clubs like CBGB, Wetlands, and the Knitting Factory. All through this period, he'd find ways to get into the West, picking up details from fellow wilderness junkies about off-the-beaten-path locales and filing them away for future reference. Mark just released a CD in 2012 called Ride. It's reached number 9 on the alternate routes, Route 66 chart, has just debuted on the October folk radio chart, and Starbucks will feature the CD for worldwide display and airplay starting this month. Another music site just made it album of the year. So Mark, talk to me.
Wow, it's great to be here, Hugh. Thanks for that intro.
It's good to have you.
Thanks.
So, what's Mark Berger all about?
I'm not sure I know the answer to that question, but I am a songwriter. And as you indicated, I've played in a number of different styles of music. But at a certain point, I just became interested in making a record that dealt with that iconic mythology, you know, the romantic American West, the American West of the mind, you know, because it's something that I've been drawn to since my first trip out here when I was 21 and always keep coming back to. And I've just taken with that cultural tradition, whether it's in film or literature, painting, and became interested in making my contribution a little while back.
Your website talks about on one of these trips you became intrigued by the cover of a novel, The Big It by A.B. Guthrie. And it's a book of short stories you found on a Navajo reservation trading post. Talk to me about A.B. Guthrie.
Well,
we're not talking about Woody Guthrie, right?
No.
Okay.
There's a bit of a story behind that. On one of these trips, I took a friend of mine who was an engineer, worked with me on the record, who's never been on a wilderness trip, and he was not in the greatest shape, and I devised a trip I thought would work for him. It's a place called Pariah Canyon, and it's on the border between Utah and Arizona. You start out at Kanab in Utah, and you basically walk, I think it's about 17 miles in about 6 inches to a foot of water in a canyon that's turning all the time, but everybody's moving in the same direction. So you pay somebody to follow you down to Page, Arizona, leave your car there, drive you back, and then you start in. And I figured this is a nice light gradient for somebody who's never done anything like this because there's not a lot of elevation change. It wasn't that physically demanding. One of the trickier aspects of it was that there was irrigation upriver, so you couldn't drink out of the river. You had to find these little spots where there was fresh water coming out of a seep in the rock, and that was the drinkable water, and that's where you would camp each night. And so we went in there the first day, everything wonderful, camped out, found that first zone where the seep was, and woke up in the morning. And the only thing that was kind of a drag about this trip is that when you woke up in the morning, before the sun came down into the canyon, it was chilly, and you're hiking in sneakers because you're in water. You're not going to wear heavy boots. So you're hiking in sneakers without ankle support with a 40-pound pack on your back. So in the morning, it's chilly, but you got to put these wet sneakers back on and get going. So other than that, there's no real downside to this trip, right? So I get my sneakers on the next morning. I got my pack packed up. I've been doing this for years, and I'm ready to go. But my friend is like, he's never done it. He's stressing about every pocket on his backpack and where everything is. And I'm looking at him. I keep going, Jules, let's get going. Come on, let's go. And he's not even hearing me. You know, he's just really focused on making sure he's got his stuff together. And so there's also this invasive plant called tamarisk in the canyon. So I just said to him, okay, man, I'm booking. And I just walked around the plant to take some pictures as the sun was coming over the rim. 5 minutes later, I come back around, maybe 10 minutes, and Jules is gone. So I figure he's not in nearly as good shape as I am. I'm certainly going to catch up to him. But the long story is that we spent 24 hours apart. I thought he was for sure dead. He thought I was dead. I spent the night at the last seep as the sun was going down in a canyon, knowing I wasn't going to connect with him. I had no idea what happened. It was one of the most harrowing experiences I have ever been through. And the next morning, I woke up on about an hour's sleep, figuring I'm going to get a helicopter, and we're going to go in there and drag the river and pull his body out in a bag. And I'll tell his parents what happened, and my kids will never have a father who enjoys life anymore, or something like that. But I was hiking, I don't know, 2 or 3 miles on the way out, and I came across, like, you know, this little spade that we would use to, you know, to bury your waste matter when you're on a trip like this. And I knew it had fallen out of his pack. So about another 100 yards, and I saw his canteen on the ground. So I figured he's out of his mind by now, but he's alive. And a little further, and there's in the distance, there's these people, and they're pointing to me, and they're screaming and jumping up and down, and they're screaming in some foreign language. And as I get towards them, they were German. They grab me, and they drag me over, and there's Jules sitting there on the ground. He looks like a sheet, you know, a white sheet. And he looks up at me, and I look at him, and I was just like, what? And he's looking at me, and I just went, what happened? He said, you said you were booking, you know? And I think it was just one of those adrenaline things, like the woman that lifts the car off the baby or something. Didn't want to get left behind, so I could just never catch him.
So he took off.
Yeah, and everything's going one way. There's nobody going the other way where you could say, hey, did you see a guy look like this? Because everybody's going down that canyon in the same direction, you know? So anyway, we just hiked out of there. Our ankles were like donuts from running down the canyon in sneakers with a pack on our back. And we caved in at a little lodge on the Navajo reservation. And the next morning I woke up, and that's when I saw this book on this metal revolving rack. And it was The Big It by A.B. Guthrie. I'd never heard of A.B. Guthrie. But it was actually a collection of short stories. And the first short story is a story about two cowhands that pull into a little town in Nebraska in a blizzard where there's only one vacant hotel room and they have to share a bed. And it is hysterical. It's called The Therefore Hog. You can Google it and read it, and it's really funny. So I got hooked. But across the top of the book, it said, by the author of The Big Sky. And that's really the book that changed things for me. That's what really sent me down the path to make this record.
The Big Sky is the one that really
The Big Sky, A.B. Guthrie. I mean, your listeners, if they don't know who he is or haven't heard of him, Joseph Heller, who wrote Catch-22, said this is the great undiscovered American novelist of the 20th century. Nobody has written about the American West with this level of feeling. It's very understated, but he's not writing. He's just writing about what it feels like to be in it, you know. And that book is really impressive. And the sequel is a book called The Way West, which happened to have won the Pulitzer Prize. But still today, he's just not known. But The Big Sky is an unforgettable experience to read that book.
Do you have a tune that kind of exemplifies what you took away from A.B. Guthrie's writing?
I think
I hear a lot of it in a lot of the songs. I've been listening to your CD quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it informs all the songs, but don't forget, I'm writing half a century later, kind of, you know?
Right.
And so I'm looking at it through a different prism. I'm not sure that there's any one song that has that perspective, because he's writing in The Big Sky, he's writing about the time before the settlers even went out there. He's writing about it when the first crazy guys went out there who didn't want anybody to tell them what to do and live with the Indians and trap beaver and lived a very harsh existence. And there at that time in the book, they're kind of bemoaning how it's all over. The beaver's trapped out. People are coming out here in wagons and starting to farm. The stuff is over, you know. So it's a really amazing perspective.
So why don't you go ahead and play us something that reflects what you took away from A.B. Guthrie's writings?
I will do that. Good.
Okay.
Now it's Exxon's and Kmart's, Best Western since McDonald's. My cattle graze on the Big Missile Range. Ride, ride, get along, little doggies. Ride, ride, so gold in the sun. Yippee-yay, boys, hear the dinner bell ringing. Get along, little doggies, the day's about done. Can't find the campfire, can't find the kettle, can't find my harp or my steel string guitar. When I turn off my headlights and gaze at the heavens, see satellites pass between Venus and Mars. Ride, ride, get along, little doggies. Ride, ride, so gold in the sun. Yippee-yay, boys, hear the dinner bell ringing. Get along, little doggies, for days about done. Blacktops are fading, the turnpikes are opening, but somehow it just ain't the same as before. For it's up in the morning in search of the dollar, and there's no time for riding around here anymore. Ride, ride. Get along, little doggies. Ride, ride, so gold in the sun. We're a long way from the wide open spaces. Get along, little doggies, for days about. Get along, little doggies, for the West, it is one.
Very nice. Title track, Ride, off the new CD. You can listen to it at markbergermusic.com, and that is M-A-R-C. Rather than M-A-R-K, markbergermusic.com. That's just beautiful. I can't tell you how much I immensely enjoy music like that, that is topical, and there's a wistfulness in that about the loss of old ways of doing things. Your line about money and there's no time to ride anymore just speaks volumes to me.
Well, thank you.
And,
thank you.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what makes that iconography of the West so resonant to people is the way it really does run counter to the way we live today. You know, the things and the values that are associated with that romantic vision is, you know, being able to hear yourself think and breathe and having space and time and, you know, being able to do what you want and having opportunity. And so those are the things I think that make that West of the mind timeless.
Yeah. That must be pretty obvious to you coming from New York City, even though you live in Ithaca now, which is a very nice country type of place. I do other things where I go to Los Angeles, et cetera, and it just absolutely blows me away how fast the pace is, how fast the people are living.
And, yeah, there's a lot of stimuli.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I do spend still a considerable amount of time in New York City, but I also think that I probably wouldn't have made this record if I grew up here, you know. I think because I grew up in the Northeast, it just whacked me like a 2x4 the first time I came out here when I was 21. I got in a car with this crazy Arab friend of mine. We decided to go on a road trip and see America. I'd never been out west. But we were just, you know, we were going on an adventure, you know,
sure,
have fun, chase some women and have a great time, see the country. But I had no idea what really was going to occur on that trip. And I came home changed. And so that any time thereafter when I had time, you know, especially growing up in New York, I didn't care if I went to Paris. I mean, I wanted to be out here. And so I think it's because of the newness of it, the shock of it, and how it was so different is probably why this record ultimately got made.
Some of your lines, I'm always I started out with Bob Dylan in 1965. I'm always listening for lines. In Twister, you've got a line called "Marooned on the Shores of Your Skin." Double wow.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually did a radio interview earlier today, and the DJ was a woman, and she was saying it's Valentine's Day. And she asked me, well, did you ever give that line, lay that line on a woman, you know? And I had to think about it for a second. I said, imagine if I did that. And then she went and heard the record and said, well, that was canned. I mean, I would have totally lost the whole deal if I did that. But thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's listen to Twister off the record.
Offers in the palms of my hands, till I found out the day was all done. And I rode over mountains and mesas, with the sky turning black in the west. And I entered your bedroom and climbed in your bed, buried my fear in your breast. Moonlight seems so pitiful now. Hold me tight, bring me that bottle, baby. Soak me in love till the blast comes down. Twister's gonna swallow you up. You can't run. You can't run fast enough. You can't run from the twister. Twister's gonna swallow you up. Oh.
This is Talking Music with the Hurricane, and my special guest today is Mark Berger, who is going to do another tune off his new CD called Ride.
Buddy gonna ride on the railroad, went down Chester Town and he just said goodbye. Buddy gonna ride on the railroad, once proud and shining, now she's dusty and dry. Nobody rides, can't you hear that soulful whistling in the wind? Nobody rides, jumped the rails and roared away around the bend. Nobody rides, say a prayer, every soul along the line. Nobody rides on a train that made this great land of mine. Nobody gonna dance to the music. Don't call Union Hall, it's boarded up tight. Nobody gonna dance to the music. Nobody gonna dance to the music tonight. Nobody rides, can't you hear that soulful whistling in the wind? Nobody rides, jumped the rails and roared away around the bend. Nobody rides, say a prayer, every soul along the line. Nobody rides on a train that made this great land of mine. Hold on, oh, dear old dad of mine, worked his fingers down to the bone. Hold on now, mama, don't you cry. I'll take you with me, if I knew where to go. dad of mine worked his fingers down to the bone. Hold on now, mama, don't you cry. Take you with me, ma, if I knew where to go. Mm-hmm. Buddy gonna walk on the water. Just sold my Bible for a good piece of bread. Mm-hmm. Buddy gonna walk on the water. Big train stole away and it left us for dead. Nobody rides, can't you hear that soulful whistling in the wind? Nobody rides, I jumped the rails and roared away round the bend. Nobody rides, say a prayer, every soul along the line. Nobody rides on the train that made this great land of mine. Nobody rides. Nobody rides. Nobody rides, ain't no more. Nobody rides on a train that made this great land of mine. Nobody gonna ride on the railroad. Went down Chestertown, they just said goodbye. Nobody gonna ride on the railroad. Once proud and shining, now she's dusty and dry.
Very nice. Where do you anticipate going? Not physically.
Well, you know,
musically.
This record was a real challenge, you know, to make. And so that's kind of all I'm interested in at this stage of life is another one. And so I have an idea for a concept album that really deals with the subject of folk music and what it is, with kind of a wide-angle lens. So I have an idea about an album that does also have songs linked based on an idea that will be really tricky to execute. And that's like the next star I'm shooting for.
Well, we'll be looking forward to it,
yeah,
for sure.
Thanks.
And what do you do after Colorado? Are you going back?
Well, I'm finishing up in Albuquerque.
Okay.
And then I head back east for some concerts in New York and hopefully come back here in the summer. It'd be nice.
That'd be very cool. We have a theater right down the street where.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'd like to bring some of my boys with me. And one thing is that there were great musicians contributed to this record. Really a tremendous, awesome musicians contributed to this record.
That's
and the band
cool.
I play with in the east is, you know, pretty wonderful six-piece band.
Where do you play in New York?
A place called The Living Room.
Yeah.
Which is a well-known New York City venue.
Sure.
I actually played there Thursday night, last Thursday night.
Well, thanks so much for coming over.
Thanks so much for having me, Hugh.
This is The Hurricane, and we've been talking and listening to Mark Berger, songwriter, musician. You can listen to his new CD and purchase it at markbergermusic.com, and that's Mark with a C. Thank you very much, everybody. Take care.